5 weeks later, and just want to pray for you, Curtis, for you. Start, is that okay? No, you stay there. So, Father, I just pray for your anointing to be on Curtis now and your Holy Spirit to be upon him as he shares with us. And I pray you'd open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Good. It's good to see you. Wow, everybody's all dressed up. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it great having kids in a meeting like this? You know, I got to get some of my tapes. I got to advertise these tapes, guys. I've just been terrible. Terrible at this. I'm not very good when it comes to selling my own material. My wife and I planted a church. For those of you who may not know what that terminology means, you know, like, this is a church, right? Well, a couple of years ago, my wife and I actually started one of these. Yeah, so you're looking at me like, are you crazy? and the kids are just amazing, you know. I recall my wife and I came from a very large church, Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, probably 2,000-3,000 members. And I remember our daughter being dedicated, and it was absolutely chaotic. We spent like $100 on this cute little dress for her. She's dressed up like a little doll, you know. And she got up on the stage with all the other kids that were being dedicated and started a fight. I'll never forget it. Well, you got to know my daughter to know she'll do that. I mean, she's like 13 and she still starts fights, you know. Like, but it was so embarrassing. Oh my gosh! You ever been like thoroughly embarrassed by your kids? You ever had them have a meltdown in the middle of a mall? No? Oh, you wait. If you haven't, you wait. You're gonna. Oh man, that's really fun. You know, when you're in the middle of a store and then they absolutely lose it. And again, it was my daughter Kara that did that. I don't know how old she was. And we're right in the middle of a store, and she didn't want to go. And we said, you got to go. And she said, no. And we said, come on. No. Now, I have no problem beating my kids. No problem. But in a store, you don't do that because, you know, they might haul you away, right? She lost it. She just went, blah! Crumble on the ground, start screaming. You know what I did? I left her in the store. Oh, I love kids. They're great. They're great. I want to share some thoughts with you this morning. But first of all, I'd like to pray. Oh, hold on. I got to advertise my tapes first, right? That's right. Okay, I've got these tape series, folks. Please buy them because I don't want to go home with that bag full of tapes. What I do, I travel internationally, I travel around the world, and really, I guess my heart is to sort of help Christians to restore the lost art of being normal. So, these tape series really help a lot. The first one is Earning the Right to be Heard, and a lot of what I teach is based, well, hopefully everything that I teach, but a lot of what I teach is based on the teachings of Jesus. And this tape series, Earning the Right to be Heard, is based on John chapter 4, where we see Jesus interacting with the woman at the well. How many of you have ever read that a couple of times? And you know, it's really cool because his interaction with her was not on the basis of, I am the Messiah, I am the one with all knowledge and truth, and you have to hear me. It was actually, he actually earned the right to relate to this lady. And I think this is a great tape series for us Christians, just to learn how to interact with people. How many of you know that the majority of people in the world don't have a problem with God, they've got a problem with the church? Hello? Well, I got lots of agreement on that one. That was good. And so that tape series is about that. The other one is The Power of the Gospel, and that is that, you know what? What is the gospel? It's good news. And you know, God doesn't really need our help. All he needs us to do is just open our mouths and just say, hey, I was blind and now I see. And he does the rest. Do you know that God has a great ability to prove himself to people a lot better than we do? I figure, you know, if, you know, God's a big boy, he could be able to prove himself if he needs to, you know. And so we talk about that on this tape series. And the third one is one that I'm particularly proud of and interested in. This is a 10-hour tape teaching that I did in New Zealand, actually. I've done it in other places. I've done it in Sweden as well. And, yeah, I've been to Sweden about 9 times, which is really interesting because they don't have black people in Sweden. But anyways, this tape series is called Recovering from Spiritual Abuse. And I've had people, this is the first time I've reproduced it in, like, I don't know how many years, like ages, really. And this tape series has actually gotten into the hands of people that are not Christian but have been involved in cults and stuff like that. And I've actually got emails, you know, we need more of these. This tape series is really for any of you or anyone that you know of who has been involved in any type of manipulation, control kind of spiritual environments. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, religion has an incredible way, church oftentimes has an incredible way of manipulating people and forcing them to do things that really they don't want to do. And I would really encourage you to get this. A lot of us have been involved in church for years, and for some strange reason, we follow Jesus for years, and we kind of don't like him very much anymore. And there's really no logical reason for that. And what I'm saying in this tape series is that, you know, Jesus is the most beautiful, wonderful person that you'll ever meet. And if after a while you don't like him so much, there's something's wrong there. And it's really not him. So I want to encourage you to grab a hold of that as well. Okay, there's the advertisement. That's done. Get the tapes. As a matter of fact, you know what? Is there anybody here that needs this? I want to give one away for free. Anybody here that knows somebody that's involved in any kind of Christian, you know, there's Christians full-on cults and there's also Christian cults. Is there anybody here that would like this? Just stick your hand up for me. Okay. First come, first serve. All right. All right, let's pray. You guys okay? All right, I got a nice short 2-hour sermon for you. So we're going to have some fun. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence here today. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We really do. Lord, we just ask that you would do what you love to do this morning. Father, thank you for the fact that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. It's so good to know that, Lord. Father, it's so good to know that we don't have to rant and rave and try to prove anything, that you are God whether we believe it or not. But Holy Spirit, we ask you to come this morning and just minister to the needs of your people, to every single heart that's here. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word today. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read out of 1 John, and it's sort of been a reoccurring theme. You know, in the last couple of nights I've been sharing, it's been really, really awesome. Because God's presence has been showing up in just an incredible way. Well, how do you know that? You know what, folks? You know, God wants us to experience him. Christianity is all about experience. It's not about just following a set of rules and regulations, but it's about experience. Jesus came into the world so that we could experience God. And anything at all that's outside of experience, I question. God wants us to feel him. He wants us to experience him. He wants us to know him. We can know God. I spoke to a Pharisee a while ago. I mean, a real one. And I was having a bit of an argument with him, I guess. We just kind of fell into an argument. And he says, you know what? I have a problem with you Christians. And he's Jewish. And I said, why? He goes, because you guys just think you can experience God so easily. You can't just experience God that easy. I said, well, tell me how to do it. He says, there are 571 different things that we have to do in order to please God. I said, no wonder. And I didn't say this to him because it would have started a fist fight. But I thought, no wonder you're so unhappy. I mean, could you imagine having to do 571 different things to please God? That sounds like my wife. that's insane. My gosh. I mean, you can't have a cheeseburger. You can't. I mean, it's just like, what? You know, I mean, I think if it's that difficult to please God, then thank you very much. I'm just going to just go on my merry way. But Jesus came and he wiped away all of the requirements that's necessary for us to come into God's presence. How many of you know what God's standard is? Somebody tell me, what is God's standard? Perfection. I don't know if you were here last night, but I kind of nailed it a little bit there, just a little. I said, you know what? Here's the truth. It is impossible for us to please God on the basis of the things we do. It's impossible. That's why I hate religion so much. It just burns me up. Because it's always our attempt at pleasing God. Listen, you can't please God. He's perfect. If you and I think that we can please Him on the basis of the things that we do, oh boy, you're in for a whole world of hurt. Because God's standard is absolute perfection. I want you to know, God is perfect. He's absolutely pure. He's holy. He is pristine. He is awesome. He is incredible. And there is none of us in this room, including yours truly, especially yours truly. Because how many of you know when you point a finger like this, how many are pointing back at you? Three. None of us can please God on the basis of the things we do. We'd have to be absolutely perfect all the time. Hey, you know what? Listen. Listen to me, Christian. You need to tuck that away in your mind every time you think you're holier than someone else. Right? You do. Because the minute you think that by virtue of you going to church every single Sunday and paying your tithes and reading your Bible and praying, all these things are wonderful, good, noble, and beneficial to you. But if you think that by doing them, you are pleasing God or you are gaining favor with God, you are mistaken. Do you know what pleases God? Do you know what turns God's crank? Do you know what makes Him happy? Do you know the only thing that turns God on? The only thing is faith. What faith? Faith that what Jesus did. So this is Christianity, folks. This is how it works. Jesus comes to the earth to fulfill all of the righteous requirements, all of the stuff necessary for us to be pleasing to God. This is the story of the cross. He came to this world, He lived an absolutely perfect sinless life, and He died on the cross so that we, by putting our trust, our faith in what He did, have right standing with God. Yes! That's awesome, man! That means it doesn't make a difference. I can get up in the morning, yawn, go to the toilet, and stand there and say, oh, God, thank you that I'm righteous before you. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So what's the Ten Commandments all about? How many of you have ever heard of those? You've seen it, right? Charlton Heston? What's that all about? I thought we were supposed to follow all the commandments. As a matter of fact, there's gigantic, huge superstructures of religion built around that thing. What's that all about? Do you know what the Bible says the Ten Commandments is? The Ten Commandments, the law, is a finger pointing us to Christ. The Ten Commandments, listen now, the New Testament calls it the letter engraved in stone, the letter of death. Well, hold on a second here. Why? Here's the deal. We have speed limit signs in Canada. I'm from Canada. I'm not American. Okay, let's establish that. And we have these speed limit signs on the highways. I don't see many of them here. but we have a lot of them back home. You know, why do they exist? What's a speed limit sign? What's it there for? It's there to tell you not to go over that particular kilometer rate per hour. Why? Because somebody in their bright understanding, spending probably hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of pounds, has determined that if you go faster than that, you're an endangerment to society. I always, you know, I mean, like in our highways, it's 100 kilometers an hour. You know, nobody does it. I mean, they should really bump it up to like 120. But I guess they figure if they do that, then everybody will do 150, right? So, you know, 100 is okay, so because they know you'll do 120. Nobody here does that, though. So, why? Because they figure it's an endangerment to society if you go any faster than that. And they're probably right. But here's the problem with a speed limit sign. It doesn't actually give you the power to obey it. That's the problem. The Ten Commandments tell you what to do in order to please God. Do not lie, do not steal, do not covet. I don't even know them all. That's embarrassing, isn't it? Honor your father and your mother. Don't kill, don't commit adultery. You know, honor the Sabbath. All of those things that sound great, and they're all noble and all wonderful and all good. But guess what? None of the people that it was given to followed it. So it constantly reminded them of the things that they were doing wrong. Constantly. No wonder that Pharisee I met was always grumpy. You cannot possibly obey 571 rules of religious perfection. Are you following me here? I'm not out to lunch on this list. Listen to me. None of them could follow them. That's why in the New Testament, because there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, the New Testament is Mel Gibson in The Passion, the Old Testament is Charlton Heston in The Ten Commandments. Right? That's why in the New Testament, the law is called a letter of death. Because it only tells you what you're doing wrong. It doesn't give you the power to do what's right. Listen. There are some of us in this room, maybe there aren't, I believe there are, and you've lived under the letter of the law for your entire religious experience. And all you ever see, you know God's real. You felt His touch. But all you ever see is the stuff you're doing wrong. Because you're constantly, you know, you have the knowledge of the law. You know you're not supposed to lust. You know you're not supposed to steal. You know you're not supposed to, you know, covet something else somebody has. You know you're supposed to honor your mother and father. Oh, that's a big one, isn't it? Every time I get mad at my dad, I think, oh, God. You know you're supposed to do all of those things, but you just can't seem to do it. You know what it's like when you obey the law, when you follow the law? You know what it's like? Imagine this. I used to live like this. It's a total drag. I try to be a good Christian. I tried really hard to be a good Christian. Just when I get lust under control, oh, I'm not looking at women anymore, oh, great, boom, something else pops up on the other end where I'm lying. And then I go, okay, I got lust and lying dealt with, and I'm holding both those ping pong balls under the water, and bloop, something else pops up. So I'm lying on my back. I got lust. I got lying dealt with. And I stick my foot over here and I try to get, worry or doubt under the water. And I got all three of them like, yes, I'm doing well. I'm sweating bullets, but I'm doing well. I'm serving God. And boop, something else pops up. It's impossible to live like that. It's impossible to live like that. So what do, Curtis? You just let it all hang out? And just be worse than you ever were? No. Here's the beautiful thing about it. The law constantly tells you that you're not doing the right thing. Because you can't follow all that stuff. You just can't. But here's the cool thing. Jesus comes along and breathes His Holy Spirit into our lives. And He gives us the power to do what's right. That's the only way to live the Christian life, is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is a spiritual, supernatural, dynamic relationship. That's what it's about. It's a supernatural. Folks, listen. This thing is not about four walls and stuff. It's about invisible God and angels and God's power coming to you. Christianity, listen, Jesus wasn't born in London. He wasn't born in Chicago. He was born in that Eastern mystical place. Christianity, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's about God's power coming into your life. And His power coming into your life enables you to do what's right. That speed limit sign, 100 kilometers an hour, just constantly tells you that you're a lawbreaker. Because you can't, you're not, it doesn't empower you to obey it. You want to disobey it, don't you? Come on, don't lie to me. You want to go faster, right? The law says, don't lust. And what do? You lust. Honor your mother and father. Oh, I hate those two. There's a part of us that just wants to, come on, guys. I mean, is it just me or what? There's a part of you, there's something in you that just wants to do the opposite. Don't touch the stove. It's hot. I'm telling you, I saw it happen. My son, he's 15 years old now. He's, you know, 15 going on 6. I got a 13-year-old going on 30. Anyways, when he was a little baby, I'll never forget it. We said to him, Richard, the stove is hot. Don't touch it. Guess what he does? I'm not kidding. It was like he was mental. He just went and put his hand right on the stove. And I mean, what do you do? You tell a one-year-old, I told you so. You know, they're not going to get it. He's 15 and he still doesn't get it. You know, what is it? You know what the Bible calls that? The Bible calls that sin working in your members, working in your body. You just want to constantly gravitate towards the thing you're not supposed to do. God says, Curtis, I want you to pray. You're going to do a meeting. Last thing I want to do is pray. Oh, no, I don't want to pray. I want to play PlayStation. I want to play Risk. I want to go for a coffee. There's something in us that constantly gravitates towards doing what's wrong. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul says in Romans. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Then what does he say? I thank my God through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, if you've never given God a shot in your life, I want you to know Christianity is not about you doing all the work. It's about God's power at work in you, enabling you to live the life. I am so proud of Jesus. Because, guys, I'll tell you what. Do you know, if I told you some of the stuff I've done in my life, I don't think you'd like me. Honestly. Well, don't look at me like that. I'm sure it's the same for you, too. I'm more proud of Jesus in my life than anybody could be. Because, man, everything in me wants to go over 120 kilometers an hour all the time. But I don't. And I'm amazed by that. Why? Because I decided to be a good religious boy? Could care less. It's because I've decided that I'm going to let God have His way in my life. Now, I'll tell you honestly, there's times when I don't. Is there anybody in this place that doesn't ever sin? Don't put your hand up. I'll hit you. Don't put your hand up. We all screw up at times. But you know what's really cool? I screw up less today than I used to 6 months ago. A year ago. 3 years ago. Oh, 3 years ago. Oh, Lord. Oh, I never want to go back there again. I screw up less today than I ever have. You know why? Because I'm giving Jesus and His power more access to my life than I ever have. And that's the key. Oh, man, it's so cool. Does that sound attractive to you? I hope so. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about surrender. In John chapter 15, Jesus said this. You want to turn over there? I told you to turn to John chapter 1, didn't I? Just forget it. I'll tell you to turn to John 15, and we probably won't read it either. But you'll turn anyways. Wow. Hey, I got a word for you. Jordy, I got a word for you. Do you know what? I was praying this morning, and you just could not escape my mind. Do you know what? You know what the Lord told me to tell you? That He has your back. He's got your back. And I saw a picture of you standing, and God was standing behind you. And He had His hands on your shoulders. And He told me to tell you He has your back. And you're not alone. And there is such an incredible purpose that God has for your life, young man. You have no idea the great things that God's going to bring you into. You watch and see. God is faithful to you. He wants you to know He is devoted to you, that He is for you, and that He's going to bless you. But He has your back. Amen. You receive that? Yeah. Yeah. John chapter 15. Look at this. Jesus, I love the words of Jesus. I love His words. I love when He speaks. Don't you love when Jesus speaks? I love when He speaks, you know. He's the only person I have ever known who doesn't talk crap. I'm serious. The only person I have ever known that doesn't talk crap. I mean, when He speaks, it's just real. It's just, oh, it's beautiful. Yeah? Especially when do you know the only people Jesus was ever mad at? You want to know? Do you know Jesus was never mad at the prostitutes? He's never mad at the drunkards. He's never mad at the state-sponsored terrorists. You know there was state-sponsored terrorism in Jesus' day. He was never mad at... Do you know there was abortion in Jesus' day? Do you know there was occult activity in Jesus' day? He wasn't mad at any of them. None of them. Jesus, I dare you to show me one place where Jesus got mad at any of those people. But you know who he was rip-roaring, absolutely insanely mad at? The religious establishment. And you know why? For one reason. You know why? Was it because they wore funny clothes? No. Because they wore boxes around their necks? No. You know why He's mad at them? Because they misrepresented God. And you know, they're still alive today. Misrepresenting God. And how did they misrepresent God? You know how they misrepresented God? They presented God as someone that you had to do things in order to please. Jesus said, hey, you know what? Listen. He called them names. You know, you guys are upset because I said crap. Jesus called them things that I can't say here today. He was really upset with them because they misrepresented God. It wasn't because of what they wore and all. As a matter of fact, he said to people, he said, you know what? Here's the deal. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Okay, they stand in a place of that authority. And he says, therefore, you need to do what they say to do. But don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they preach. Wow. So they read out of the Bible, so you got to obey that. You got to listen to that. But don't do what they do. Don't do what you see them doing, because they're not representing God. They're misrepresenting God. They don't practice what they preach. Well, that could be said of every one of us, can't it? Jesus was not upset with anybody that walked the streets in His time. He did not take a platform against any of the social ills of His day. I don't know, guys. Like, help me out here. What's wrong with the church? Like, why do we... And I want to be careful. I want to say what's wrong. There's more right with the church than wrong, you know. God's getting us together. But you know what? I sometimes it's like, you know, why do we get on crusades for things that God doesn't really even care so much about? Oh, we're so mad at the homosexual community. We're so angry with them. Homosexuals. Ooh. Man, I tell you what, I came from a church. I hope this is not being taped. And I remember one time I was in a meeting, and these ladies started, you know, they started freaking out. Part of our church, you know. They're freaking out. Whoa! Like they were constipated or something, you know. And I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, there's witches in the meeting. There's witches that are in the meeting tonight. So I'm like, oh, God, you know. Should we call the cops? You know, I'm expecting to see, you know, pointed hats and stuff like that. So I said, where are they? Where are they? I'm terrified, right? Over there, over there. And you know what? There were a couple of girls dressed in, you know, goth, you know, they were all dressed in black and everything. I was like, oh, God, please. The God who created the universe, he's going to be afraid of a couple of girls with black makeup on? You know? Oh, witches in the meeting. Oh, the homosexual community subverting our children. Folks, you know, God, listen, I'll say it. God loves the homosexual community.
Oh, Curtis, please, please, please qualify that he loves the sinner, not the sin.
No, I'm not going to qualify that. We love the sinner, not the sin. Well, okay. Oftentimes we say that, but really we hate the sinner and the sin, don't we? Because, you know, that's how we treat them. God loves the homosexual community. Do you know what? I'll tell you something. Let's say something dangerous here, John. Ready? You watch. Watch this. God always runs to the aid of oppressed communities. Always. Ever see a community that's being oppressed, pushed down? You'll see God's mercy flowing to them. And you know who's the most persecuted community right now in Western culture? Is what? What's that? Married men. Amen, brother. Come on, let's start a movement, shall we? The most... I imagine that's your wife with her hand over her face next to you. Oh, God. There he goes again. Yeah. The homosexual community is intensely persecuted in our culture. And you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing that God is rising to their aid. Oh, I could go on a little bit more, but I think that's dangerous enough. Listen, God loves the world. You know where I've seen the presence of God show up the most? Right in pubs and pool halls. Well, that's because, you know, you're some sort of a cool Christian. No, give me a break. He shows up in those places because he loves to go to places where people have the greatest need. He does, you know. You know, you've heard the saying, you know, where would Jesus be on Sunday? Not in my church. Where would Jesus hang out if he walked the streets? Well, I think he'd be everywhere. I think he'd be at the pubs. I think he'd be at the clubs and the weekends. I think he'd be in the offices. I think he'd be everywhere because that's where God is. God loves the world. For God so loved, I'm going to end in a second, hang in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Put it another way. Let me just put it in my language. For God was so absolutely crazy about his creation that he went to the very furthest extent he possibly could, and he gave his one and only Son, so that if there was somebody out there, somebody who would believe in him, they wouldn't have to spend eternity outside of God's presence, but that they would receive the free gift of everlasting life. God loves the world. He's not mad at the world. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He sees your life and he says, you know what? This is a life that I've created. He loves you. God loves me. He's not mad at me. God's mad at me because I've sinned. No. That's what he sent Jesus for. God's not mad at the world because of the sin. He's not afraid of sin. Sin's not a problem for God. Oh man, I'm in big trouble now. It's not a problem for God, folks. It really isn't. God doesn't have a problem with sin. God has a problem with anything that looks like him but denies his very nature. That's what he has a problem with. I want to just throw this out to you today. The greatest gift that you could ever receive today is the gift of being reconciled to God. What does it mean to be reconciled? Well, you have to be there in the first place, right? Every human being is a child of God by creation. Every human being that walks the earth is a child of God. The Bible says that he causes his goodness to fall on those that are good and on those that are bad. Don't think for a second, just because we're Christians and we go to church, that we got a corner on the market, guys. God loves everybody. Oh, God pours his mercy out on people who deserve it. And he pours his mercy out on those who don't. Are you following me? You ever meet people that are not Christians and they're happier than Christians? They used to bug the heck out of me. I'm trying so hard to be good. I'm trying so hard to be godly. And this guy over here, he's having fun and he's just loving life. Let's not think for a second that God loves us more than them. Let's not think for a second that there is even an us and them. It's all of creation that he's in love with. And I want to just throw this out to you. God wants to reconcile you. He wants to bring you back. Bring you back to what? Well, I told you we wouldn't read John 15. Bring you back to a close heartbeat to heartbeat, face to face relationship with him that has nothing to do with anybody else. Just you and him. You've been created to know God. I've been created to know God. And all the rest of it, well, I don't know. It's up to you. I mean, you can go do whatever you want. You know, jump in the lake if you want to after that. But you have to know him. What does it mean to know him? It means to be entwined with him. Well, I know, Curtis. You know, I don't think you know me until you've known me for at least 3 years. I personally don't think you can be someone's friend unless you know them for 3 years. That's just me, you know, because, you know, to know me, for me to know you, it's not just, you know, hey, how's it going? Oh, good. I see you every week. Oh, yeah, great. It's your kid's, you know, beat up my kids, and my kids beat up your kids, and, you know, we eat together, and, you know, I disagree with you, disagree with me. Hey, isn't that relationship? And that's the knowing that God wants us to have with Him. It's just to know Him. How do we know God? Well, the first place is to say, hello. Hi, God. I surrender. I surrender to you. I realize that this is why I've been born. And if you've seen today, He's not coming into your life to make your life a living hell. He's not coming in for that. He's not coming into... Jesus says, I've come that you might have life. And you might have it to the fullest. Please stand with me. I want to lead you in a prayer. I don't want to embarrass anybody here today. Well, maybe I should. You know, he was pretty embarrassed when he went to the cross, you know. They had to write beneath his feet in three different languages. You know why? Because where Jesus was crucified, the point at which he was crucified, the intersection of that road, was so cosmopolitan that they had to write the language in two or three different languages for people to understand. He was hung without that little stupid designer loincloth as if he's in a Calvin Klein commercial. He was naked, folks. And they hung him at a major intersection in Manchester. At a major intersection, they hung him naked. My God. My God. If they did that to you, then why should I be ashamed to stand up and say, I'm God's man? Why don't you just bow your heads with me, please? If you feel the grace of God on you this morning, just bow your heads with me, and I want to pray for you. This is just, you know, really private between you and God this morning. But I want you to leave here with a gift of everlasting life. Well, Curtis, you know, I did that religious thing before. I did that before. Well, I think you've seen this morning it's not about religion. It's about relationship. And you may never see me again, and you may never see this place again. Who cares? The most important thing is that your heart is in that place with Him. Now, I want to just do this, because I'm not going to ask you to come forward and all that stuff, okay? But I just want an indication of who this is touching here this morning, because I want to offer up a prayer to God. And, you know, He always gives me what I ask, so I'm going to offer up a prayer to God, but I just want to get an indication of who this is touching. So please don't look around, because it's really none of your business. I just want to get an indication so I know how to pray for you. Now, if that's you this morning and you know, Curtis, you know what? I need that. I don't want anybody looking around. Just very, very gently, I want you to just put your hand up for me. Okay, I see your hand. Just stick your hand up for me right now. Okay, I see that. All over this room, I see it. Okay. Okay, once you've put it up, you can put it down. You don't have to keep it up there. Anybody else? I need to be reconnected with God. Okay, I see it. I see it. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you. Father, I lift every single person in this room and those who have raised their hands and acknowledged that they need you today. Those who have raised their hands and acknowledged that today is the first day, or maybe today is once again time when they're going to walk with you. Father, I just ask that your grace would fall on them right now. That your presence would fall on them right now. Lord, we can't serve you without your power at work in us. And I ask you, Father, that every single person here, and I know there's a whole whack more of you, but that's okay. You know, it's not about all of that. I pray for every single person here who raised their hands and those who didn't, that today would be the day of salvation for them. That today would be the day, now would be the acceptable time that they would walk with you forever in the name of Jesus. Father, bless every heart in this place. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you know, let them have the same experience that I've had with you. Oh, Jesus. And even greater than that, I pray. In Jesus' precious name.